This program was first broadcast on Tōroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Calvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program. And we've gone through the exploring of the Bible in this last year of 2010, and now we're into our third lesson for 2011. How time just seems to travel, doesn't it? Time keeps ticking on at all times. Anyway, we've been going through exploring the Bible right from the very beginning, looking at the lessons of creation and going through to the lessons of coming right through to the New Testament. And what is interesting as we've been looking at is that what we find in the scriptures is it's talking about the consummation of God's plan and purpose with mankind on the earth. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up that wonderful kingdom on earth. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And for further things on the Christadelphian, there are some. We've got some websites here, www.antipas.org. www.findthelight.org, or you can get a repeat on www.tararadio.co.nz. We do have another couple, www.pioneerchristadelphian.org or www.biblesays.org. Bible Says, and this is what the Christadelphians have stood for a long time. We do believe in Bible truth, the truth. There's lots of different people say different things about the Bible, but there's a clear statement that why we need to be clear and sure on these things is of the psalmist David. I think you'll find it is him in Psalm 49. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not, he is like the beasts that perish. And that's in verse 12. And then in the final verse of Psalm chapter 49, man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Understandeth not. Yes, there's a certain amount of scripture, a certain amount of things that it is necessary to know. Remember, Jesus sent the apostles out to preach the gospel. And those apostles were nearly all martyred for the cause of preaching that gospel, and then writing the letters to Paul did to the ecclesias and church and brethren, and that they had taught in Asia Minor and ran into Greece. And they were lessons and letters to tell them to abide in a certain way of living and to believe certain things and to hold fast that message that they gave to them. Well, that is important, and we don't want to miss out on that glorious kingdom that we've been promised to inherit upon this earth. You know, and they shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, tells us in Revelations chapter 5. We've got to look forward to that time. Look forward, and this is the hope, and we can be free from this way of sin and death. Jesus overcame sin and made it possible for us to communicate with the Father and to have our sins forgiven. But we must identify with Jesus, as it says that he took upon our sins upon that cross. But we still do sin, and therefore we have to remember to partake of that bread and wine, which is the Holy Communion, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our intercessor to God. He paved the way. He had that victory over sin and death there that God did raise him from the dead. He is the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits of them that slept. Think upon that for a minute. Right. Our lesson is the coming kingdom of God. And you remember last time I said there was a three-part series here, the coming kingdom of God. We've dealt with the first part in the days where it says, as Daniel spoke of in 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Well, that was talking about a giant image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream of, and Daniel interpreted it to him through the power of God, because God is gives the interpretations of dreams, and Daniel was just the medium who it worked through. Jesus also told the parable of the nobleman who went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. And then, not only is that, Jesus speaks about certain events and certain things that will happen prior to his second coming. There's also spoken of in the prophets about the return of the Jew to the land before the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a moral decline spoken of, which we spoke of last week. And there's also a confederate of nations, as the prophet Ezekiel speaks of. In Ezekiel 38, it'll come against the nation of Israel, invade the nation of Israel. And Zechariah talks about the certain things that will happen, how so many would be destroyed in that land. This is going to be the Armageddon, where God's wrath will come upon the nations. The prophet Joel foretold the gathering by God of the heathen to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Another place he says he'll bring all nations against Jerusalem. All the nations that hate the Jews and want vengeance upon them. Right. Tonight's session is the return of Jesus Christ. Behold, I come as a thief. We have both in the prophet Zechariah and the Revelations, we are specifically told that it is at the height of this great conflict in Israel between the Euro-Russian power, that's identified when you read Ezekiel 38, power, Israel, and all other nations that Jesus Christ will return. It's when this conflict is. You can read in Zechariah 12, which I'm just going to whip to and look up now for a quick second. I'll try to be doing that fast as I can. Zechariah 12, 10 to 13, where it says, I will pour upon the house of David, that's Israel, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They pierced him on that cross. And they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, and every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart and their wives apart, all families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. This is going to be a great, great day when the Lord returns and to save his people Israel. Verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with whom I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver and refine, and will try them as gold and strive. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. They've had a lot of trouble with their God, the Jewish people. God chose them, called them out with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He made great special promises to them. They would inherit a land forever. They rebelled many times against him. And for his namesake, he never totally destroyed them. He left them punished. as Jeremiah says in chapter 30. I think it's chapter 30. Though I make an end of all nations, I will not make an end of you, but I will not leave you unpunished. Here it is. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The history of the Jewish people has been a lot of punishment, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. They chose to leave their land, well, they were hunted out of their land, really, by the Romans, sure. They didn't make a strong effort to return. Many of them did. They wanted to set up businesses in other lands. And they were sometimes forbidden to live in those lands. They were chased out from country to country. But then there was a movement came from Zechariah, from Revelation 16, the drying up of the Euphrates River. This means the drying up of the Turkish Empire, because the Euphrates begins in Turkey. And they controlled all the land of Palestine until the First World War. But anyway, we won't go too much of that. But we know that in Ezekiel, they would return to the land of Israel, and they'd live peacefully and in safety before this great Euro-Russian and Persian and Libyan and Ethiopian armies come upon them. We're given a warning regarding their personal preparation for this great event. And we're told, blessed is he that watches. There is a need for us. This is a New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a need for us to be vigilantly watching for his return, prepared to meet him. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins especially teaches that some of those who knew that their Lord would return were not ready when the cry went forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Matthew 25. The lesson that Jesus taught from this parable was, watch therefore, for ye know neither the hour, day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's a preparation required by us. We can get involved in things, we can get tied up in things, and we may forget our call and forget to be ready always for that calling. We need to pray, we need to watch our scriptures, we need to work on it. The resurrection and gathering to the judgment seat of Christ. There will be a judgment seat of Christ. There will be a gathering both of the living and those who have died and been raised to life again to appear before Jesus Christ for judgment at his return to the earth. This is referred to in many places in the Bible. The following quotations speak of this judgment. With Paul speaking to Timothy, I charge thee, Timothy, he says, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and all the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:1. And Daniel even tells about this in Daniel chapter 12, 1-3. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same hour. And at that time the people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Daniel 12:1-3. The prophet Daniel, friends, foresaw the time of resurrection and the gathering to judgment. He commenced by saying at that time, referred to, the time of the end of the previous chapter, not many verses into it, at the rear of it, close to chapter 12, 1140, when Russia is the king of the north and its confederate powers sweep down into Israel. Thus the resurrection and judgment will take place at the same time as the great international conflict in the Middle East known in the Revelation as Armageddon is taking place. Daniel refers to this period as a time of trouble such as never was, chapter 12. It is at that time of international conflict that the judgment will take place. And during the resurrection and judgment, he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. We need to think upon these things, really, friends, because we have this one life, this one opportunity of preparation for this wonderful calling that we have through the scriptures of the gospel. The gospel is termed really the good news and glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And we know it's also related to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Acts chapter 8 tells us that they understood these things and they wanted to be baptized to be a part of it. Baptism is a part of a washing away of a past and coming out of new waters to the waters to a newness of life, and then to continue in well-doing until this event takes place. Yes, it's a great dream, it's a great hope, but it is a reality, because there's so much the scriptures have been fulfilled that have come to exactly as they said they were. Why do we, human nature, want to doubt that other part that is still future? Where's the hope we have in this world? Where is the hope? That the scriptures have given us that hope, and the scriptures have been written for a long time. A long time. While the scriptures have been around, there's been many conflicts, there's been many suffering, many deaths, millions of deaths in the last two wars. 50 million on the second, I think. I think at one place in the First World War, there were 60,000 in one day died. What a waste of flesh. A waste of good men and women to go to the core and to serve king and country. It's hard to say it, I know, but our highest calling must be before God, ahead of king and country. Thou shalt not kill. Thou must be obedient to the laws of God above the laws of mankind. God is going to, through Jesus Christ, set up a glorious kingdom wherein will be no suffering. Read Psalm 72. Read Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 40, Isaiah 32. Time and time again it takes of this wonderful age to come. There will be rewards given at the time of judgment. Some will receive immortality and will enter into the kingdom to assist Jesus Christ to establish God's ways on the earth. However, the unfaithful will be dismissed from his presence in shame, just to die again forever. You race through your Bible like I've just done now and look at chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5. This is the word. And they sung a new hymn, a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and God hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I behold, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the thrones and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard by saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb that was slaughtered on that cross as an example, as a typified the slain Lamb on the altar for forgiveness of sins under the Mosaic law. But Christ came, the Lamb of God, unblemished, unsinful, and received that victory of sin and death. This appearing before the judgment seat of Christ is referred to in the following quotations. so that every, in Romans 14, verse 12, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look at John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There is a judgment. We have a choice. And when we fail, which we all will fail, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must confess our sins before him, to him, to take them to God. Many that sleep shall awake. So who are the many? The question is often been asked, shall every person that has ever lived since Adam and Eve be raised to judgment? I think the simple answer to that would be no. The scriptures tell us that knowledge brings responsibility. Only those who are responsible and among the dead and the living when Jesus Christ returns will be taken to give an account before him at his return. When Jesus commanded his apostles to go forth and preach the gospel, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Here we have two classes. There are those who believe and obey, they shall be saved. They obey and they are forgiven of their shortcomings. They will stand before Christ to give an account of their service. And if they have remained faithful, they will be given immortality. Examples of the judgment passed on those who took on service to Christ is set out in the parables. For example, the five wise and five foolish virgins from Matthew chapter 25. The faithful and wicked servants, Matthew 25, the latter part from 14 to 30, and Luke 19, 11 to 27. Here we can see plainly that there will be a division at the judgment seat between faithful servants and those who prove to be unfaithful in their service to God. However, there is another class of people who upon hearing the gospel message reject God's offer of salvation and do not believe and obey it. They will be raised and condemned at the judgment seat of Christ for their disobedience. They heard but did not believe. An example of this is to be seen in Ananias and Caiaphas, who heard and spoke with Jesus but rejected him and did not believe. They will be raised to account for their unbelief and wickedness at Christ's return, Matthew 26:64. And there is yet another class of people, those who have never heard the truth of God's word. They have lived their life in ignorance of God and his Son. They will not be raised to appear at the judgment seat. God will not raise people from the dead to punish them for their ignorance of him. Of this class we are told, they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 14. And again, man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beast that perish, from Psalm 49 verse 20 that I read previously. So we do get ourselves into quite a responsible position, that when we hear the gospel, God really expects us to take it on board, not to reject it, not to sit there and think, no, I don't want this, I want to go with the world. Well, if you want to go with the world, you go with the world. But your eyes have been opened and you've made a decision. A lot of people never get the opportunity to open their eyes or make a decision. To grasp the simple Bible teaching on who will appear at the judgment seat, let us set it out as follows. Right, we got raised or gathered to judgment as baptized servants who remain faithful to Christ. They are given immortality. We have both baptized servants who did not remain faithful to Christ. They'll be rejected and depart in shame, and they'll die again. The responsible heard but rejected the gospel message will also be condemned, depart in shame, to die forever. The ignorant, those who never heard of God or his ways, they are not raised at Christ's returns. They don't know anything, they have no judgment, they don't have to declare their or defend themselves or anything like that. They did not know. And therefore, immortality is a reward to the faithful. It's a wonderful opportunity, made like unto Christ, to die no more. Being he's the first fruits of them that slept, therefore we are told we have a following to make in Christ. But contrary to wrong teachings of the present position of an immortality's immortal soul, you see, the two words are never together in the scriptures. There is nothing immortal in us. We are a soul, which we have a life, we have a body, and instant judgment at death. The Bible clearly shows that man is mortal and that death sleeps or remains dead until awakened by the call of Jesus Christ at his return. It is at this time that the faithful receive the glorious reward of immortality, raised like as Jesus was raised. Paul describes this hope of resurrection to immortality in 1 Corinthians 15. He not only shows that all through Adam inherit mortality, but say as in Adam all die, but he gives the antidote to mortality when he continues, even so in Christ shall all be made alive at his coming. This change from mortality to immortality is set forth in verses 51 to 56 of 1 Corinthians 15. There we are told that this mortal shall have put on immortality, for death is swallowed up in victory. It's a victory. The Lord Jesus Christ had a victory. He had a battle. He wept at times. He struggled. We weep, we struggle at times, but our conscience must be determined not to give way, must be determined to hold fast that word of truth that we've been given. The faithful servants of Jesus Christ will rejoice and be involved in the glorious work of establishing the kingdom of God under his guidance. They will reign as kings and priests on the earth, Revelation 5, verse 10. Thus their role will be twofold. They shall reign as kings to establish the law and order of the kingdom, and shall officiate as priests to instruct the mortal population of the earth in the ways of God. One of the first works to be performed by the faithful servants will be to assist in the subduing of the nations that are gathered in Israel in response to the Russian-led invasion there. They will go forth with the Lord Jesus Christ as an immortal host to destroy the military might of the nations, and then to subdue these nations of the world who will not accept Christ as their king. Look at Psalm chapter 2. Here, Psalm 2, just straight into the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 2, I'm just going to whip to it very, very fast here. It always eludes you when you want something quick, doesn't it? But here we are. I will declare the decrees the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their hands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what they say. But ha, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Anyway, folks, look, time's up. We've got to continue this subject into chapter 3, talking about this kingdom of God coming, Israel regathered, and the nations that call upon and come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be talking about that in our next lesson for February the 13th. Oh, that seems long, by the way. Anyway, I hope you've had a a restful time over the holiday period and you've come to your, think upon the things and the suffering in the world and the pain and the monetary problems, it's because the scriptures talk about things not getting better, not until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He came with a message, preaching the kingdom of God to the people of Israel. They were in suffering. They were in a dominant country was ruling them, the Romans. They did not have peace. They did not have justice. But the kingdom of God promised all those things. So when the message went out from the Lord Jesus Christ about that kingdom of God that was spoken of in the prophets, they knew what it was about. And it's coming. It will come to save this world. Anyway, good night for us now. This is Calvin Lyon from the Christadelphian Bible Group, signing off. Good night.
This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.